Not that there were any tigers left now, anyhow. After that, Hiram had diversified. He had developed the world's first successful soft screen, a flexible image system based on polymer pixels capable of emitting multicolored light. With the success of the soft screen, Hiram began to grow seriously rich. Soon, his corporation, Our World, had become a powerhouse in advanced technologies, broadcasting, news, sport, and entertainment. But Britain was declining. As part of unified Europe, deprived of tools of macroeconomic policy like control of exchange and interest rates, and yet unsheltered by the imperfectly integrated greater economy, the British government was unable to arrest a sharp economic collapse. At last, in 2010, social unrest and climate collapse forced Britain out of the European Union, and the United Kingdom fell apart, Scotland going its own separate way. Through all this, Hiram had struggled to maintain Our World's fortunes. Then, in 2019, England, with Wales, ceded Northern Ireland to ERA, packed off the royals to Australia, where they were still welcome, and had become the 52nd state of the United States of America. With the benefit of labor mobility, inter-regional financial transfers, and other protective features of the truly unified American economy, England thrived. But it had to thrive without Hiram. As a U.S. citizen, Hiram had quickly taken the opportunity to relocate to the outskirts of Seattle, Washington, and had delighted in establishing a new corporate headquarters here at what used to be the Microsoft campus. Hiram liked to boast that he would become the Bill Gates of the 21st century, and indeed his corporate and personal power had, in the richer soil of the American economy, grown exponentially. Still, Kate knew, he was only one of a number of powerful players in a crowded and competitive market. She was here tonight because, so went the buzz, and as he had just hinted, Hiram was to reveal something new, something that would change all that. Bobby Patterson, by contrast, had grown up enveloped by Hiram's power. Educated at Eton, Cambridge, and Harvard, he had taken various positions within his father's companies and enjoyed the spectacular life of an international playboy and the world's most eligible bachelor. As far as Kate knew, he had never once demonstrated any spark of initiative of his own, nor any desire to escape his father's embrace, better yet, to supplant him. Kate gazed at his perfect face. "This is a bird who is happy with his gilded cage," she thought. "A spoilt rich kid." But she felt herself flush under his gaze and despised her biology. She hadn't spoken for some seconds. Bobby was still waiting for her to respond to his dinner invitation. "I'll think about it, Bobby." He seemed puzzled, as if he'd never received such a hesitant response before. "Is there a problem? If you want, I can..."
"Ladies and gentlemen."
Every head turned. Kate was relieved. Hiram had mounted a stage at one end of the cafeteria. Behind him, a giant soft screen showed a blown-up image of his head and shoulders. He was smiling over them all like some beneficent god, and drones drifted around his head bearing jewel-like images of the multiple Our World channels.
"May I say, first of all, thank you all for coming to witness this moment of history, and for your patience. Now, the show is about to begin."
The dandy-like virtual in the lime-green soldier suit materialized on the stage beside Hiram, his granny glasses glinting in the lights. He was joined by three others in pink, blue, and scarlet, each carrying a musical instrument, an oboe, a trumpet, a piccolo. There was scattered applause. The four took an easy bow and stepped lightly to an area at the back of the stage where a drum kit and three electric guitars were waiting for them. Hiram said easily,
"This imagery is being broadcast to us here in Seattle from a station near Brisbane, Australia. Bounced off various commsats with a time delay of a few seconds. I don't mind telling you these boys have made a mountain of money in the last couple of years. Their new song, Let Me Love You, was number one around the world for 4 weeks over Christmas, and all the profit from that went to charity."
"New song," Kate murmured cynically. Bobby leaned closer. "You don't like the V-Fabs?"
"Oh, come on," she said. "The originals broke up 65 years ago. Two of them died before I was born. Their guitars and drums are so clunky and old-fashioned compared to the new airwear bands where the music emerges from the performer's dance. And anyhow, all these new songs are just expert system extrapolated garbage.